Amen. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And we have become a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood. Again, kings do have what they say. And actually, we read out of Romans 5:17, again, those that receive the free gift of righteousness and this grace will reign in life. And the Amplified says, reign as kings. And I was thinking about that word reign. Our mentality in our democracy, we don't think of kingship and how kings rule and reign, but the kings, again, had the final authority. Are you with me?
Always.
And when you're a king, there's other kings always trying to take your kingdom.
Absolutely.
And the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, how he said in the church, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for the equipping of the saints. What are we being equipped for? So we know how to fight the good fight of faith. You know, a good fight's one that's already you won, technically.
Right.
Amen. And Jesus already won it. We just got to act it out and put our foot down and draw some boundaries. How's that in your life? A lot of people don't have any boundaries. I live by boundaries. My whole life, I like boundaries. I like to know what's mine, what's not, and how far I can go, how far I can't go. And it helps you get through life better. And when it comes to the devil trying to come into my boundaries, I've learned to stop him. You know, he tries to get into your family through divorce and all kinds of things. But you need to say no, amen?
That's right.
Reign as a king. Amen. Hallelujah, you are a king. Amen? That's why I like Burger King, I guess. So. I can have it my way there, amen? Actually, I like that new veggie burger. I couldn't believe I liked it. I thought, boy, I'm getting old or something. I couldn't tell the difference between that and a regular Whopper. I mean, I'll get soft in my old age. I don't know. But we need to declare God's rule on the earth as kings. We're under his kingdom, and as kings in his kingdom, we're little kings, with the authority delegated to us by Scripture, by the Word. And we're to go and express His rule. And again, that rule is not over flesh and blood. Amen.
That's right.
It's a tendency to want to fight after the flesh, because we know we could beat them in the flesh. Maybe you could or you couldn't. But no, we need to war after the Spirit and on your knees. Amen. And using that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's that spoken word in Ephesians where it talks about taking the sword, which is the Word. That's the word rhema again, the Word of God that is spoken. So we need to speak the Word. Now, again, let's go to Mark 16 here for a minute. Mark 16. And again, part of my job is to equip saints so they can fight the good fight. You know, we get people born again and they think life's going to be so easy now. No, you just entered into warfare.
That's right.
It's a battle. It's a war. But, again, we have the victory. We're, like I said earlier, we're more than conquerors. Jesus fought the fight for us and he handed us the check. He did the work for us. Here in Mark 16. Give me a second to find it here myself. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Actually, you study that in the Greek. Again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I have a bunch of books that have the Greek words and so forth. Actually, it means the believing ones. The believing ones. Those that are the believing ones. That's us in this room here. That should be every believer. Some people call themselves believers, but they're not really believers. But the believing ones, that'd be a good name for a church, wouldn't it? The believing ones. In my name they shall what? Cast out devils.
Yes.
They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Again, if you're ever going to be called into the mission field, you want to be very familiar with these verses, because you're going to be in situations where you're eating food, you don't know what you're eating. You're drinking stuff, you don't know what you're drinking. Amen?
Right.
And you better know how to stand in faith and how to believe God, especially if you travel to places like India where the water's not too good. How many ever been to India here? Anybody? Yeah, you've been.
Yeah.
I've been there 3 times. That was enough. No, my mission field is Russian and Russian-speaking country. So, thank God for that. I got that assignment in a city called Nyabrsk, up in near the North Pole. Yeah, and God spoke that in my heart. So ever since then, I've obeyed Him, and when I have the opportunity, I do that. But anyhow, I'm a believing one. And I said earlier, you know, we talked about what great faith was. What's great faith? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That takes great faith. In fact, it takes great faith to believe that God's in me. Even for myself sometimes. You know, I live with this guy. I know I'm not perfect. But it takes faith for me to get past my flesh sometimes to see the glory that's in within me. He put this treasure within earthen vessels. God took a big chance, didn't He? Huh? But it's in us. And every one of us in this room here has great faith. Amen. Well, I wish I had more faith. You already got great faith if you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Just like that centurion did. And you come now under that authority and you flow with that. You got great faith. Just use it. Plant that word out there. You know, if you had $1,000 in the bank, you know, it's not hard to write out a check for a couple hundred. Amen? Because you know it's there. Well, when you start finding out who you are in Christ, you can fill in the blank, so to speak. You can begin to call those things which be not as though they are, according to the will. And let me just back up with 1 John 5. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us, and we have the petitions we desired of Him. It's not just anything. It's anything in line with His will. And you can find out the will by reading the Bible and getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And you'll know what the will of God is for your life. Amen. And what His will is. And then you can take this thing here, this commission, and go into all the world and preach it, teach it, and make disciples. We recently watched a good movie the other day called The Forge. Anybody see that movie out? It's at the theaters. It's a good Christian movie. Excellent on mentoring and the need for mentoring in the body of Christ. It was excellent. I give it a 10. The Forge. And it's certain theaters. My wife, she gets all this stuff on the phone. She knows what's going on. I just follow her around. She's my tour guide, I said, through life. Amen. So, again, like, see, when you find out that you were already healed, see, people say, you know, I'm praying that God will heal me. No, He already healed you 2,000 years ago when He carried your sickness and bore your pains on the cross. It's a done deal. You got to now declare it and claim it. Take it, actually, take it. Yeah, the word in the Greek there is receive. It means to take it. You got to take it. And that comes with this idea of ruling and reigning and fighting. You know, you got to take the land. It's not automatic. Amen? You got to be aggressive with your faith, not passive. You can't be passive in this thing. Sit back, well, que sera, sera. No, the devil eats your lunch. Like I said, I had that bully in high school that finally I stood up against the bully and pushed him back. Now it became a different deal now. Amen. So we're already healed. In fact, you're already rich. You know that He became poor? Through His poverty, you might be what? Rich. Study that word rich. It means in goods and stuff. He wants you blessed so you can be a blessing. But if I don't take it by faith, if I don't receive that and make demands on that scripture, you know, the devil will keep me poor. Amen?
That's right.
All right, Hebrews chapter 3. Since we're talking about kings and having what we say and the power or authority of our words, I want to talk a little bit about that. Again, I'm big into what we say. I said this many times, if people put duct tape over their mouth for about a week, they would probably be healthier and wealthier. And everybody would be in love with them. Yeah. People just say things that they don't realize they're saying. I don't speak death. I don't say I'm scared to death. I don't use those terms. I'm not scared to death. You'll never hear me say I'm sick. Well, you look sick. I don't care what I look like. There's a verse in Isaiah 33, the last verse in that chapter, says, let not the inhabitants say I'm sick. So, I'm an inhabitant of the land. I don't say I'm sick. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. The devil doesn't like that because I'm not accepting what he's trying to put on me. See, we get symptoms. You all had symptoms. I've had all kinds of symptoms. But I don't claim them. I don't accept that. I don't agree with that. Again, I've had some bad reports from some doctors, and I don't agree with them. But when I was in the hospital a few years ago, they sent two psychiatrists in to see me. So I knew I must be right on track somewhere. Amen. I'm probably on some list now, you know, I don't know. It don't matter. But Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, that's us here today, partakers. How many are partakers?
Yes.
Amen. Of that heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That word profession, same Greek word confession. It means to agree with or to say the same thing as. So Jesus has been sent, you know, the word apostle means one that is sent. He's been sent, and he's the high priest of what we say. Again, getting back to the power of our words. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Go to the next chapter here. So he's been sent to watch over what we say. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Again, there's our words that we're speaking out of our mouth. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Aren't you glad that Jesus became a man and knows what it's like to be tempted as a man? He knows every temptation we go through as people, humans, he's been tested with it. And because of that, now he's at my Father's right hand. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he's there waiting for us to bring him words that he can say to the Father. David says that by his stripes he was healed. He's my attorney. I mentioned that just briefly last session. In 1 John, he's called our advocate or our attorney. He's my defense attorney. The devil's the prosecuting attorney. He's trying to prosecute me, trying to get me sick, trying to get me poor, trying to keep me out of the will of God, whatever. But what am I saying? What have I been saying? Because your words. In fact, he said, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned.
That's right.
You read that? Jesus said that.
Absolutely.
By your words. Justified means declared righteous or okay. You know, you'll be not judged by what your words could have produced when you're speaking God's word. You with me so far? And it says you got to find that grace, amen? You got to get in there and receive it. Find it in the scriptures. God's grace is what he's poured out towards us, all his goodness, his blessings, his benefits. It's there for us. But if you don't take the effort and apply that in your heart, you'll be sick and poor, and you'll still go to heaven. You can go to heaven being sick and poor. There's a lot of Christians wake up in a different realm. But, you know, you can be blessed in this life as well. I know that's the truth. But, again, your confession, we might say, will bring you possession. How's that? Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the death, what happens? We bring salvation to us. So your confession is so important. What you're saying or the things you say out of your mouth. And you know, if you say anything long enough, the psychologists will tell you that you'll begin to believe it. And that's the scary part about just saying anything. So it's important to say positive things about yourself, to others, to be able, Ephesians says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but to what? Minister grace to the hearers. But if we would just zero in that aspect of our salvation, life would get a little easier. Because the devil uses our words against us. If you're found guilty, you'll pay. Job had to pay, didn't he? But then he turned it back by praying for his friends at the end. And God turned his captivity. But we don't need to go down that road. Jesus took all our, took upon himself all our troubles and tribulations. And he's now easily touched. It doesn't say that just because he's touched, he'll help. No, he's waiting for confession. He's the high priest of our confession. He's the apostle of our confession. So say the word. I'll make this statement. You will never believe beyond what you say out of your mouth. That limits a lot of things in people's lives. Amen. You will confess your worries. You will confess your doubts and your fears. But when someone comes along confessing what God has said, they think you're strange. But like I say, just let me alone. I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, and I'm doing fine. Amen. Again, we need to confess the integrity of God's word, and it pleases him. You know, when you take me at my word, it pleases me. When my kids trust me, or someone says, you know, when I say, tell someone I'm going to be someplace at a certain time, they know Dave Landis is going to be there at a certain time. My endeavors in life is never to be late. I can count on my hand how many times I've been late to someplace. And I just made that my purpose. I'd rather be 30 minutes early than 5 minutes late. And that's part of character and the integrity of people can count on you. Well, God's always, we want God to be on time, but people aren't on time. Maybe it's because what you sow is what you reap. Be on time. You'll find that time will work for you as your friend, not your enemy. My wife and I, we get amazed sometimes. It's like it's supernatural. We talk about translation. I think sometimes I've been translated to situations, places, because I'm always on time. It's like, how did we get here so quick? You know, I don't know. You get in the spirit, things are different. Amen? You're traveling at the speed of light. Things go a lot faster. Hallelujah. Another subject. But again, confess what God has said. Find some scriptures if you have an issue in your life. Find scriptures on that subject. Meditate on it. Confess it. I remember when I was attending Rhema, I would... Every day I'd be driving down the road. I had an old 67 Ford van. It had a little dashboard on the front there. And I'd put scripture cards up there and memorize scriptures every day driving to Rhema. Brother Hagin would pass me in his Cadillac going down the highway. And I'd say, Father, I just think someday I'm going to have a nice car in Jesus' name. My old van was an old beater van at that time. But hey, man, I was learning these things. And I was applying them in my life. Amen. You got to start somewhere. You say, well, it doesn't matter if I have a new car. Well, then that's your business. I like to have a newer car. I like to be able to get in the car and make sure it's going to run. Amen. I bless my cars. I had a Mercedes I just got rid of. I had it for 29 years. That's a long time to have a car. And finally, it just started rusting a little bit too much and too much money to throw at it. And I had 400, almost 50,000 miles on it. But it was not a diesel, it was a gas motor too. So, you know, I blessed that car. Father, I think this car always starts, it runs. I was going to get antique plates on it and keep it, but I already have too many cars. My wife said, I have 5 now and a motorcycle, so no more room. You know, God blessed Abraham with cows. I said, he blessed me with cars. What can I say? I don't need cows. But you know, Start blessing stuff that you have, your equipment, whatever you have. Just start speaking the stuff. Amen. There's enough curses out there from the enemy and people saying this against you. Back, you know, fight back and say, in Jesus' name, I'm blessed coming in and going out, what have you. All right, again, consider Jesus, not what you're going through. Consider Jesus. He's waiting for words so that you can be justified. And the Father can say, throw that case out. He has no case against you. Amen. Hallelujah. So again, kings have what they say. Go to Psalm 149. Psalm 149. I know you guys know a lot of this stuff, but hear it again. I like preaching this because I get to hear it again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Not having heard, but hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Verse 5, it says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud and upon their beds. And make sure you warn your wife if you start doing that. You might scare. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all of the saints. Praise ye the Lord. Again, this is part, we might say, this is part of our destiny. It's an honor to stand and to be a king in the kingdom. How's that? And to do what it just said there. Yes. It's an honor. It's our destiny. God didn't just save you so you could go to heaven. He saved you so you could put your foot down and start taking back the land the devil stole. The devil's been running wild on this earth for thousands of years, and God raised up the church to put a stop to it. In fact, in the book of Acts, let's go to the book of Acts quickly here. You know, it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Not, some Bible say the Acts of the Apostles. It's, yeah, God used the Apostles, but it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's a better way to put it. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts. Let's put an axe to the devil. How's that? Acts chapter 2. 38. 238. Hallelujah to Jesus. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as the King James says. Again, it's all again done through the name. When we get into water baptism, there's arguments. How do we baptize? In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. I say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I just put it all in together. Because there's different scriptures that imply different ways. But we always make sure you get the name of Jesus in there. Amen?
Absolutely.
And as we do that, we're obeying what God asks us to do. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. They were acting out the name, using the name. How about Acts 4:12? 4:12. Again, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So that, Buddha ain't going to do it for you. Muhammad's not going to do it for you. There's so many different religions out there. I'm doing this World War II thing as a chaplain, and I get the opportunity to talk to present-day Army chaplains at times. And I was talking to one recently. He said, we have over 200 religions we have to deal with now in the military. I said, I can't imagine. They said there's like thousands of religions out there. I don't know. I guess there is. But there's only one name that's going to give them to heaven. Is that what you believe?
Absolutely.
Yeah, amen. That's what my Bible says. I'm going with the Word. It's past the test of time. Amen. There's another way. And again, there's a move in modern Christianity. Yeah, you know, we're just to love one another, you know, and just compromise the truth. And I'm not going to compromise it. I'm not going to pat you on the back and say you can live any way you want and still go to heaven. You got to confess that Jesus is Lord. And that, again, I said that's a military term in the sense he's Lord, Lordship. You know, you got to, that means you're submitting your life now to his will and his ways. His authority. And how do I find out what it is? Reading the book, amen. Reading my rule book, my guide, yes. My guidebook called the Bible. Acts 4:29. Well, we're in the book of Acts. Give us a couple more here again. And now, Lord, behold, their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. There again, they were praying for the signs and wonders were happening through the name. God honors his name. He backs up his name. Just like we should all want to back up our name. Amen. Now, we know people by their name. When I mention name, we think certain characteristics about that person. And God is the same way with the name of Jesus. We should use it. And the devil knows it too. Acts 5:12. And by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought amongst the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth sick into the streets. I like this verse. Amen, wouldn't that be nice? And they said, you go to church Sunday morning, they have the sick line out there in your parking lot waiting for you to show up. Brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Again, signs and wonders. All because of the name of Jesus. In verse 16, there came also multitudes out of the cities round about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Why were they being healed? Because they were using the name of Jesus. It's a name that every sickness and disease has to bow its knee to. Acts 5:28, while we're in that same chapter, made the devil mad, and he used some people to get him to try to stop them from doing this. In verse 28, the high priest asked and said, saying, do we not straightly command you should not teach in this, what? Name. Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter said to the other apostles, and it said, we ought to obey God rather than man. That should be always our final authority. We're under his authority, not natural world's authority. Amen. I'm in this world, but not of it. So they were healed. I like that. They were all healed, everyone. Yeah. I want to get in that kind of healing service. Everybody's healed. Not a hit or miss like sometimes we have in America. Like I said, you get on the foreign fields and you get into places like India, we'd have crusades. 10,000 people show up, man, miraculous things happen. Blind people see, and that gets your face stirred, man. You want to find, man, come on, bring them in, bring them on. Hallelujah. Let God heal them here in this place. Amen. But like I said, we have so many different belief systems in America. We've watered down the gospel, and most of your churches don't even preach that God's the healer anymore. That God gave us doctors. I'm not against the doctors. My trouble with doctors, they think they're God. Many of them do. They just have this God complex that they, I guess that's probably why They sent the psychiatrist after me. I don't know. They were healed, everyone. Again, they were told not to teach anymore in that name, the name of Jesus. How about Acts 16? I like the book of Acts. I refresh myself with it from time to time, just read through it and inspire myself, say, man, because the book of Acts did not end. For some people it ended, but not for me. Hallelujah. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much by gain by soothsaying. That's a little fortune teller lady. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now that sounds pretty good, but it's bad advertisement, amen? It'd be like in Harrisburg, we have this. On Route 22, there's a lot of these reader places where they read your poems and all stuff, you know. It'd be like one lady's name is Mrs. May. She's been around forever. That she'd be advertising your church, you know. You don't want that. Amen. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, again, the Spirit of God was telling him something ain't right. He turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of who? Jesus Christ, to come out of her, and he came out of her at the same hour. So again, it's the name that demons respond to. Not you, but the name of Jesus that you're using. And again, if you have that revelation, you know who you are, you know how to use the sword. I like to put it this way, we can become skillful in the word of righteousness. You ever read that? We're to become skillful in using this word. Karate years ago. A guy in my church had a karate school and he wanted to teach me karate. I said, all right, it'd be good exercise. I think he just wanted to beat on me. I do have a white belt in karate now, so that's all the further I went. But that, yeah, there's some guys in karate that are very skillful. They practice it constantly. They do the katas and they take a sword and they can cut an apple in half on your stomach and not cut your, you know. It's crazy stuff that they can do through practice. And see, we need to practice the word. That's where confession comes in. Hallelujah. Amen. When you're doing katas, you don't have an enemy there. You have a pretend enemy. You know. But I want to hurt myself. I was going to do a couple kicks for you, but it's been a while. But you know, you're practicing on an imaginary enemy. And when that's what I see as confession, when I'm speaking the word, I may not be going through anything. But anyhow, I'm using my sword of the Spirit. By his stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. And then when the devil throws that at me, one of these fiery darts comes at me, I can quench that with my shield of faith. I know what God's word says. Are you with me? Fighting the good fight. Well, this is... After what had happened here, they got the rest of the story. These people that were making money from the lady got upset, and they put Paul and Silas in jail. But praise God, that was the end of the story. At midnight, they were singing and praising God. It says the prisoners heard them. You know, I'm just one of those silent praisers. Nah, you need to make some noise. The prisoners heard them. And what happened? We know that it caused an earthquake, a supernatural earthquake. And their chains were released, and they were set free. Amen. And then he went and got preached to the jailer's house, and the household got saved. So again, it's all because of the name of Jesus. When you start using that name, expect some attacks. How's that? People will say, well, I want to be a pastor. I want to be in the ministry. Well, it's okay, but you better know how to wear the armor and how to use the word of God, because you're going to come under attack, whether it's physical or whatever. You know, pastors go through a lot of stuff. That's why you need to pray for them, to stay strong. Because the devil knows he can take the shepherd out, he can take out half the sheep. Yes. Especially in the modern church. Amen. How about, and we looked at Acts 19, we won't go back there again, where the sons of Sceva tried to use that name, but they didn't have the revelation. Amen. And what happened? The devil got into them. But greater again is he that's in you than he that is in this world. We have the greater one in us because we're kings and we're priests. All right, we're going to take a little break here, and then we'll come back and wind us up with some. I'll get to the point of my whole weekend message. All right? Nice. All right? Let's take a 15-minute break here.